Bruce Lee talk. Hey, baby, remember sharing this with
broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on December 16th, 2007.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Well, thank you, Scott. Tonight, Alan Rupnick from I Am Haunted joins us. The mighty John Hutchison returns to talk about his new work. And then ending the night off, the brilliant Andy Colvin joins us. Haunted Warren Winery.
Yeah, it's finally come.
Yes,
winter. The apocalypse of our yearly apocalypse here in beautiful Michigan.
I can't believe it happened in December. You know,
yeah, it's
usually it's January.
Yeah. So. This time last year, I remember it was not nearly as bad. Yeah, there was.
No, I think it was 80 and sunny last year.
Yeah, we were all walking around. We were at the pool and stuff before the show, hanging out.
Yeah, it's not this year.
No, not this year.
Fun. This year it's the opposite. It is a it was a blizzard kind of today.
Well, we came out. I had to get some stuff done today. So we came out of the house in the early afternoon, which is morning for Sundays, right? And my car was just, I couldn't see it.
Right. There was this little pile of snow.
Just a little pile of snow there. So, you know, I have to
amidst other piles of snow.
Well, yeah, the scraper's usually in the trunk of the car, right? So what are you left to do besides go try to find a broom or just like dig it out with your hands?
Right.
So of course that's what I do, freeze myself solid almost, try to pry the trunk lid open and brush the car off. Of course the snow starts to blow then, so now we get covered in snow in the process of that. So we're freezing to death. But we got out and drove around the roads and dealt with all the... And you see, I can't say that anymore now because you're one of those people.
I don't know how you do it without four-wheel drive, that's all I'm saying.
It's easy. You just drive slow.
I don't get it.
Because people, of course, they're all out, and they're full, you know, I'm doing, you know, the speed limit for this particular, you know, these conditions and stuff, and, yep, they're right on my tail going, and I'm like, oh, God.
So. Well, I don't drive crazy, even with four-wheel drive, but I do feel safer.
Yeah.
I do feel safer and a lot more, like, I can, you know, get going when I need to instead of, and try to get going. Definitely helps a lot in this condition because they haven't plowed. They have,
no,
I mean,
of course not.
There's rots.
Well, Madison Heights, which is the city that borders Warren here, where we broadcast from, they've plowed.
Oh, they
plowed. As soon as I crossed over to Quinder Road, which is the dividing point between the two cities,
right.
I'm like, oh, this is great. We're going to get home and this is fine. No problem. As soon as we crossed over to Quinder Road, wham, back into the snow. I mean, like piles of snow. Couldn't move. I'm like... Thank you, Warren. Appreciate it again.
Well, evidently, Warren's pretty large. That's all I have to say.
It's
because I have to say, we went to a party last night.
Yeah, that's probably why we sound kind of tired right now, too. We're both pretty cooked up.
It was a paranormal Christmas party.
Yes.
Very, very awesome. I'd like to thank the Metro Paranormal folks.
Yeah, Metro Paranormal Investigations, Chris and Wayne.
Chris and Wayne.
You know what? Of course,
and
I don't remember her name. Chris was the female who owned the house. Did we remember who the... We just talked about this like 2 seconds ago.
I think we did.
And I'm totally blanking out.
I'm not remembering a thing, but I do know them on site.
Yeah, of course.
It was phenomenal. There was lots of partying and revelry going on. I got a bag of coffee, which was really interesting. Of course, I love the smell of coffee. I think on one of the MySpace things I wrote, you know, what are your favorite smells or whatever, and I'm like, well, bacon frying and coffee.
Well, yeah, you don't drink it, though.
Yet I don't drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee at all. I've never known you.
So I have something to add to my potpourri. but it's definitely, it was definitely pretty cool. And my exchange gift was a magic eight ball.
Chris and Aaron.
Excellent.
Thank you to Chris and Aaron for letting us spend the evening at their home last night. They were very, very nice to us. And all the Metro Paranormal Investigations folks, Chris and Wayne, who have been here in the studio before, for inviting us out and letting us have a great time and hang out with everybody and just party and, you know, just talk.
Yes.
It's been a very long time since we got to unload like that and just hang out. Kevin also, the lawyer.
Oh, yes.
The lawyer, right?
Kevin.
God, he was a blast.
We got to talk to Kevin for... hours, it seems, in the kitchen. It was awesome.
And apparently, I'm his new hero now. That's what I had to hear the whole night after we had our conversation. Because I told him about when I got my ticket to Detroit and when he fought it. He's like, you are the man. He's like, you won.
You fought Detroit, you won.
You fought Detroit and you won. I'm like, well, I still had to pay $25. But compared to what they were trying to gouge me for, I guess that wasn't too bad. But no, I was great talking to everybody, hanging out. Got in very late. Very late. And I mean, we didn't.
Well, I got in earlier than you did, but
yeah,
I
did. Yeah,
I ended up having an upset stomach and I couldn't sleep.
Man.
It was pretty insane.
We didn't. We got in around 2 a.m. and we're, you know, just kind of showered and kind of like came down, got warm again, and crashed out. But I think it's just the age. It's my age. It's your age. I won't lie. I'm in bed on Friday and Saturday night by 11, 12 o'clock usually.
Wow.
We don't go out to bars anymore. We don't, you know.
Right.
We just don't do that.
Conference weekends. Those are pretty flexible.
You have to, yeah. That's
very flexible conference weekends.
And this is how I feel right now is like this.
Like we just went through a conference.
I'm just kind of like all warm and fuzzy all over, and it's like, oh, God, all I want to do is just, like, go to bed. Stay in bed and not move.
So, happy holidays, Metro Paranormal. Thank you so much. I had an absolute
time. Yeah, it was a great, time. Thank you, guys.
This is an interesting show coming up, of course, with Alan and John and Andrew, but we absolutely have to talk about next week.
Next week.
Because this is something that we've done for a while. And
this is our fourth one. This is the fourth one.
Facilitated, should say, for a while. And absolutely fascinating every time.
Well, the one thing... Well, the last time we tried to do this, we actually... I don't remember what the logistics were involved with that, but I think it may have been when we were actually building this studio.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to move everything back to your place for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with the Prophecy Nights is the last couple of times we've been kind of played with issues trying to put together a big show like this. Now, last weekend we had four people going, right?
Right.
Yeah, remember, we're doing all this stuff, you know, we're not... If we wanted to throw $10,000 at this thing, we could have a really cool studio, but you know, who wants to do that? We had issues with having multiple guests on. Last weekend was kind of a nice bench test for that.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to end up talking about that a little bit last weekend, what went down, too. But as far as the technical end was concerned, I think it went off pretty well. Everybody could hear each other well. I mean, I think we had a good conversation going most of the time.
I think it went very
well. Yeah, from a technical end, I think it was great. And I'm hoping the same thing will happen next weekend. Prophecy Night 4.
Yeah. Prophecy Night 4 coming up next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time for Christmas.
Just in time for the holidays. And it's going to feature... And we've had the same cast pretty much the whole way through with this thing. Of course, we have, you know, Mr. Homie, Jim Homie, is going to be here. He's kind of the moderator. We usually kind of turn the mic over to him and let him run the thing. Because this is his brainchild, too.
Yeah. It was his idea. Yeah. And we are so wholly... in favor of it, you know, completely in favor of it, that we've been doing this now. This will be, what, the fourth time?
Derek White, Sky Cloud, is also going to be here. Very cool
guy. Excellent.
Kittel, Las Vegas Psychic, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Baines, very much in the Nostradamus work.
Oh, that's extremely.
His Jill Dane, the Loeb psychic.
Yeah.
So it's fun to talk to you. And Scott Christensen, he's been on the show a couple of times. Another very cool person. So definitely check that out next week. We have that scheduled actually from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we have 8 to 9 p.m. opened up. And I don't know what we're going to do just yet. I still have a TBA on the schedule on the website.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we just may leave it wide open. Because, okay. I mean, if things are jamming here with the Prophecy Night thing going on, we might just let that go.
Maybe we can, like, leave early because of the holidays?
Oh, listen to this guy. He's speaking like a union man now. Great.
I'm only kidding.
You know what? Maybe.
No. There's no way. Once you get me going.
Yeah, we're here till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
And sometimes beyond that. But, yeah, that's going on next week for sure. And definitely check that out. Again, tonight, we're going to be talking to Alan Rupnick from I Am Haunted, which will be very cool to talk to him. John Hutchison returns, and it's so good to talk to John again. I told you last night at the party, I was doing my John Hutchison impersonation. It's never in a condescending manner because I have nothing but, I mean,
me too.
Of the millions of guests Absolutely. That have been through this show, John Hutchison is in the top 10 guaranteed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But he talks. He's a very eloquent guy, and he talks like this all the time. He's very, very, and it's like he's announcing everything.
Yeah.
Right? And I just think it's so great. It'll be great to talk to him again. And then to round the night out tonight, Andy Colvin, who we met at the Mothman Festival this year, who was very cool, and we've been kind of corresponding back and forth, and I wanted to bring him on because he gave a fantastic presentation at the Mothman Festival, which you can download on the website, on the Ghostly Talk site here, 2007 Archives, Andy Colvin's presentation's up there for free download from there. So check that out
also. Yeah, and when you download these presentations from the conferences, and in that case the festival, learn from them, and also get excited about these things, because I'm telling you, there is nothing like seeing one of these live.
Yeah,
when you go to a conference or a festival, or in that case a festival, and seeing a live presentation, it's you get a lot more out of it, and you can ask questions.
Yeah,
I mean, it's there's nothing like it. This is up there, obviously, for our archival purposes.
Yeah,
should we say?
And people
and you can learn from them.
Yeah, I think people
enjoy learning from them. But I also want you to get excited about perhaps scheduling. You know, because upcoming next month is when traditionally people would have to fill in their vacation schedules for next year. And think about it and go online and see what see if there's any conferences or anything you might want to hit on your vacation.
I'm going to probably be posting up our tour schedule, and I put that in major quotes. You can't see that, but Doug can. I'm going to be putting up our schedule for the year. We have that pretty much mapped out now. We had the corporate meetings, and we're ready to go for that. So I'll be putting that up there. So if you guys want to come just for the sole purposes of hanging out with us, which God help you if you do, you'll know where we're going to be at in 2008. So that's coming up. A lot of, and we're going to be doing
aspirin and Band-Aids.
You know, speaking of the show, we talked about this last night at the party also. But, you know, we are going to be making some changes, I think. There's gonna be, not major changes, just some update. Yeah. You know,
going to do the show nude.
Yeah, that's one thing we're going to be starting. For the January 6th show, which is the first
new
show here.
Yeah,
Doug's going to be exclusively naked for the rest of 2008.
Right.
And little things like that, refreshers.
Just, things to change things up a bit. Speaking of changing things up, have we discussed the empty chair?
Oh, yeah, Bonnie isn't here.
Yeah. I think people may have noticed.
Another nail in my coffin for that. Bonnie, well, the weather's so bad, and Bonnie has a lot longer of a drive than we do here. Well, I don't have a drive at all, but you got a rather short drive. Bonnie has about a 40-minute drive on a good day. So,
20.
I think she might be in the chat room. I have to check with Amber because she's in the other room monitoring the chat room.
Well, Bonnie said she's going to try her best to get in the chat room.
So she may be there right now going, I hate those guys.
Why aren't they mentioning me? But we do want to give a shout out of love to Miss Bonnie.
Yeah, there was, and I, you know what? You told me this. You give me the details on this because she is a great aunt again.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. Her, we have to welcome to the world.
Yeah.
Hang on.
We're going to get ourselves
killed. Robert Donovan something or other.
Oh, my.
it's Robert Donovan. It's not Bonnie's last name, but it's close. So it's like Titler or something.
Oh, okay. So let's just say, I'm not going to run with that one, dude.
I just don't know. Anyway,
well, Bonnie's a great aunt again.
We're calling the bouncing baby boy. We're calling him Bobbert.
Bobbert.
Yeah.
We'll call him Bobbert. Congratulations, Bonnie. She's a great aunt again, and I know she's really excited about that.
If you go to her MySpace page, in her photo album on her MySpace, she's posted up pictures of her and Bobbert, and of course her niece and Bobbert and everybody.
Yep, they're all up there for you to check out.
And I guarantee there's probably, for each photo that you've seen, there's probably 1,000 other ones that have not been posted. So
congratulations.
So that's an ongoing saga, the life of Bobbert, and it's only a few days now. So
well, that sounds like it's going to be
well chronicled in photos.
Yes, definitely. I was surfing around Satan's website this week.
Oh.
And every once in a while, something interesting. I see something interesting.
I was doing this for the longest time.
Well, for some reason, this week was one of those weeks, I guess, for me to be a little more intensive on Satan's website, because I actually went and updated my profile.
You know, when you post bulletins, or are they called bulletins? Yeah, when you post bulletins, you post all of them, like 7 of them.
Because they're all on a template.
Under 3 names. Yeah. I'm wondering if you could spread them out of it, like do one name, and then like the next day or 2 days,
our propaganda needs to be spread out a little bit more?
Well, what it is, remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Advertising is all about repetition. People will, evidently after the 7th time, people will remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is you want to spread your propaganda around.
Right? I don't think it really matters on there, because when you have like 8 gazillion people posting bulletins up, I think it gets buried in about 5 seconds anyway.
Right, but I think the problem is if you run across one and you go, okay, well, here's something posted by this guy, because you've got the picture right next to it.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll usually read that title, I'll see the thing, and then I'll notice that the same guy posted like 50. So I just go next until it changes pictures. So I don't even read the stuff in the middle.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think that's a good thing to do?
I just don't. I know how I view MySpace, and it can't be that unique.
Okay, we'll try something
new. If it's somebody who posts like 16 things in a row, I'll read the first one and then I'll scan down until the picture on the in the little table, the picture changes to a new person, and then I'll read that one.
Oh, okay. Oh, we'll try something different this week then.
Yeah.
Usually a couple times a week I'll put up, you know, mainly those.
I have to say, this is good advice also to Peter Meyer. Peter M E Y E R. Evidently somebody in California, and he does the same thing. He's like, 50 of them. And then you're like, okay, I read the first one, and then skip. And then when the picture changes, now I'm back. Maybe someone will post a survey.
Well, I'll work on the modifications this week to our Satan's website propaganda.
How do you read them? Do you read them?
I don't barely read any of them. Except for ones that look somewhat interesting, like the one that I'm looking at right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
This was a bulletin.
You did see this one.
It was actually posted by Derek from Capers.
Okay.
And I'm sure somebody, you guys have never seen this.
I did read this.
But I just thought it tickled me to death, because this is pretty well true. And I was going to throw a couple of these out here. We got a few minutes before we get to 6:30 here. So I figured I'd throw a couple. Actually, if you want to read a couple of these, go ahead, too, Doug.
Well, I can do two.
Yeah, how about I start with one, and then you do two, and then how about I do the odds, you do the evens.
All right.
Does that sound good?
I don't understand the number two, though, but go ahead.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, isn't it?
I don't understand.
You want to skip that one?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll do one, skip two. love of God. All right, here's the list, though. You're a ghost hunter if... ... right? And number one here is you have more photos of ghosts than you do of your family photos.
And that I indeed
I
do.
Actually probably do now.
Number two, I don't understand. Let's go ahead and go evens and odds.
Yeah.
You talk to a brownout.
Yeah.
And I know what a brownout is.
Yeah, so do I.
But I talk more to light bulbs that pop.
Yeah, especially in your basement.
Right, when a light bulb pops, I'm like, oh, hey, Grandma.
This one right here, number three, this is like probably the best one on the list, I think. You are more afraid of the living than of the dead.
that's your very first ghost hunter story.
Yeah, that's my first ghost hunter's tip right there. You know, be afraid of the living more than the dead.
This one's poorly written. You're the only one in the Photoshop who gets excited over bad pictures. And what they mean, of course, is you're only one at the photo lab or the photo printers that gets excited over bad pictures. Because I remember having gone into, you know, a pharmacy slash everything slash photo area,
Yeah.
1 hour photo, and saying, writing on the envelope, I want all of the pictures, even the bad ones.
Yeah.
Because if you don't write it, they pull them out, and then they don't charge you for them. But the problem is you want them. You need them.
Yeah, exactly. What's number five? Your coolest ghost photo is framed and hanging in the hallway with your family photo. I'm not quite that. I don't think I'm that ridiculous, but I'm sure there's some people that are. So, what's number six?
Number six, you invite, and I'm guilty of this, you invite friends over to watch some movies, and they get to see your last three investigations. That's where you film an empty room for 3 hours each. And, I've done that. Well, I've actually popped in American Ghost Watchers and made people watch that. And that's, so it's not quite as long and drawn out as a three-hour, empty room.
Number seven, your friend stops and stares at the Sony night cam aimed at the bed in the spare bedroom, and you have to tell him it isn't what they think it is. Oh, okay,
of course, of course.
Very nice. What's number eight, Doug?
I don't know. You apologize to the ghost for getting scared because you thought it was human.
Well, you think, you know.
So if a ghost scares you and then you go, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were. That's actually similar to Arkansas, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea any of this was, like, paranormal. Mm-hmm. I was thinking humans were doing it.
Number nine, you sit at your computer and look at the reflections in the screen to see if there's anyone behind you.
That could just be
That's paranoia.
That's paranoia, too.
Yeah. What's number 10?
You sleep with a camera next to your bed just in case.
Well, what?
At haunted locations. I can understand that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Number 11, you have an EMF detector next to your remote for the TV.
Yes, I can see that.
I can see that, but God, at the same time, it's like, man, some of these, they got to be based on some truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, what was number 12, Doug?
Your kids. Say they have an imaginary friend. And out comes the cameras, the tape recorders, the camcorders, everything.
Number 13, at an event, you film the ceiling in places where there are no people. That's true.
Do you know, that's like Misty was from Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
She had gone to an opening a celebration kind of thing at a, it was at dark, and it was in a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a bunch of people there because it was like a dedication ceremony kind of thing. And they had, like, the ceremony part, and then they had, like, a little walk.
Yeah.
A cemetery walk kind of thing. Mm. On the walk, she's, like, holding her camera out and going, bash. So, like, and everybody else, of course, is taking pictures of the people there.
Yeah, exactly.
And Missy's like, flash, you know, flashing along on the walk. It was, so it sounds like... something people would do, yes.
What was number 4? We have 14 here?
Yeah, you spend more time with dead people rather than the living.
Okay.
I like that.
I'm doing odds, right? Yeah, I'm doing odds. Number 50. You're watching scary movies with your family, and someone asks, can ghosts really do that? And you actually have an answer.
I've been the person who did that. Yeah. Attending a family reunion is a trip to the family plot. That's kind of creepy.
That is kind of creepy. Your friends tell you to get involved in this stuff because you may end up having a ghost possess you. What?
Well, I have had people tell me, you know, oh, you've got to be careful. It's dangerous.
Tell you not to get in. I said to get in. I said, yeah,
right, right.
Yeah, all right, yeah, okay.
Well, I read it rather than listen to you because... Yeah. It's a lot more accurate. I'm only kidding.
Piss off.
I'm only kidding. You have more recordings of EVPs than you do of your favorite music. And that's
no, that's not true.
That's true for me.
Not for me. What is it? Number 19. You have more photography equipment than a Japanese tourist.
Yes. They hit the nail on the head with that one.
I totally wrecked that one. You have more photography equipment than a Japanese tourist.
And related to that is the next one. When you get a new camera, the first thing you do is remove the strap. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't want the
Yeah,
strap.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
And get those, get the vortexes.
Yeah.
I've been the victim of that one many a year ago. I thought I had a vortex, which was my camera strap.
Oh, definitely.
What you want me to? You are waiting for Regis. I don't watch that first. We are waiting for Regis to ask, what is the most haunted place on Earth?
That's off of what's that, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yep. 22.
What if you take a picture of your entire family and then ask any deceased relatives to join in the picture? Have you done it?
Honestly, I haven't. 23, you keep rewinding that part on Three Men and a Baby to try to prove that it isn't a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson. I've done that.
Before I
found out I was a hoax, yeah.
Yeah?
Before I found out it was a joke. It was a joke.
Oh.
I remember it vividly. Like I was at work one night when I was still working nights,
mm-hmm.
Back at the bar and stuff, and somebody said, we were talking about myths and legends and stuff. So I said, hey, you know, there's that ghost in Three Men and a Baby, and we just happened to have a videotaped copy of that at my parents' house.
Oh, my God.
So there I am at 3:30 in the morning in my parents' living room, rewinding that thing, going, holy crap, there is a ghost of a little boy there. Oh, my God, right? Until I found out it was a total hoax. So.
They got a picture of a little boy ghost. Yeah,
yeah.
But it was a cardboard cutout.
It was a cardboard cutout. It was a joke. 24.
Your idea of a perfect first date is taking him or her to a reportedly haunted location. Did I skip one?
No. I'm just trying to think if I...
Well, that's a kinda wonderful
first date. That's kind of how Amber and I got together.
I think it sounds like a... Yeah, well...
There you go.
At the paranormal picnic.
Yeah.
Right?
And finally, number 25.
And then you're like, hey, you want to go ghost hunting? Well, yeah, I'm at a paranormal picnic.
Yeah. And finally, number 25, you agree and can identify with most of what is written here. And I think that's the absolute
truth. I think that is...
And I think we both did. That's pretty bad.
Ding, ding, ding.
We're both in trouble now.
I guess
you know you're a ghost hunter.
Thank you.
And that's the list. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek, from Keepers. And
I don't know who wrote that.
Well, he posted it, so
yeah.
We have to say thank you for posting it.
Yeah, thank you for posting it, Derek. Derek's a very cool guy, too. We had him on a two-hour
ago. Oh, yes.
Old friend of the show who never had... One of those people we've talked about where we've known him.
How many conventions? You know, we've seen him at several. And then
he seems
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, now we know already next week is Prophecy Night.
Yeah. We got to talk about this before we get a break, yeah.
The week after that is the last show of the year.
Mm-hmm. We're trying something different this year.
And
last year we didn't even broadcast because it was all on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's true.
But this year, yeah, there's a new thing going on.
Right, we're going to have some folks in, right?
Yeah, we decided to have the MPI guys drop in again. I might actually want to bring, I'm going to call Chris and Jonathan from Grimstone and see if they want to join us.
That would be cool.
So if you guys are listening.
So we're going to have a little, GT gathering, maybe out with the old and in with the new. And what we're going to do is, year, by the way, because it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
And beginning of the next year. So what we're going to do is have open lines all night.
Yeah.
All night. If you want to be on the show, you just simply call in and press 1-1 to raise your hand.
Please call in, though, if it's topical.
Good idea.
Because I know we're going to be talking with these guys and stuff like that, and it just kind of kills our whole show when you do that. I mean, when we got something going here and we have a conversation going and you want to chime in on that, that's great.
I think that's something that all shows have to deal with.
I know, but let's try to, work on that, though. Please.
Let's work on that? Yeah, okay. What we'd like to do is we'd like to, remember 2007.
Yeah, yeah.
And get excited about 2008.
2008 is going to be cool.
Yes. And when I say remember 2007, I don't want to remember, I lost my job, my dog ran away. It's not a country song. We're going to be talking about... I had such a blast at this event, or I finally got to go ghost hunting at this, whatever place, that kind of thing. The cool stuff, the stuff you want to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we got a lot to talk about that night, because it was one of those years this is probably been the busiest year yet for Ghostly Talk.
Definitely.
And I think the most productive year yet for Ghostly Talk as far as what we're trying to do here, too. So I don't think we're going to be any short of conversation that night, but we want to bring you guys in also, and like we talked about last week, We want to know. Maybe there's some stuff that we can still improve on here. There's always room for growth.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about Ghostly Talk, too.
Yeah. And, you know, we said it last week. Put your money where your mouth is. If you got something you want to talk about, as long as you're cool with us and you're nice and you want to have a conversation, we can totally do that, okay? We'd love to talk to you guys that night about that, too. So
that's December 30th,
yes,
2007. It's just before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take us out of 2007 and into the brand new year.
Wow, 2008. My God.
I can't believe. That'll be what our... coming up in February,
yeah.
In March, well, in February would be the official date. But
yeah,
March.
And then we'll be in our seventh year of broadcasting.
Yeah.
My God. What has happened, Doug?
And we will officially be six and in our seventh year of broadcasting.
Yeah. Where's it?
I don't know. Have we changed the world yet?
Why don't we take a break and think about that?
And let's change the world with Alan Rupnik coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, www.iamhaunted.com. If that's not already in your bookmarks, I don't know why.
Exactly.
And, of course, it's linked off of our own site, ghostlytalk.com. We'll be back with Alan right after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at that job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Hi there. When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Nightwatch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, tune in to Nightwatch. The only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. And don't forget, Nightwatch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Nightwatch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Nightwatch.
Thank you. so you're seeking the truth? You have questions or answers? Join a community of like-minded people on the Nipers forums. Simply go to the Nipers website, www.nnyprs.com. Click on the Nipers Discussion Forum. Here you can browse our many topics covering all aspects of the paranormal field. Ask your questions, post your comments, get answers, seek truth. The Nipers Discussion Forums. Your forums.
Is one of the founders of IamHaunted.com, a social networking site tailored to the paranormal community. I Am Haunted is a place where the paranormal enthusiasts can interact socially as well as share information with fellow paranormal enthusiasts. Of course, the website is www.IamHaunted.com, and Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Alan Rupnick to the show. How are you doing tonight, Alan?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Oh, really, really, really good. We're already started with hilarity. We're already started with hilarity. I'm sorry, Alan. We have a separate track for the phone line, obviously, right? And I've been making a horrible habit out of doing this lately. I keep forgetting stuff left and right. And I had our two mic lines in, but I didn't have your line in. But I pushed the button just before you started to talk. Thank goodness, so you're here.
Wow.
Otherwise, we
would have just like that.
Otherwise, we would have been talking to you know. The
well,
air.
What you would have heard on the what people would have heard out in Radio Land would have been just a little. And then us answering, and then because I went back to the archives where I've screwed up before,
like?
That's what it sounds like. So
wow.
Thank goodness I didn't do that tonight, Alan. You know, obviously, and you know, we're going to spend the whole half an hour talking about I Am Haunted. We don't want to do that. Which it's a very cool website, though. I have to say, thank you for putting it together. I do want to thank you personally because I think it's a lot of fun. A lot of people get together and do a lot of you know great discussing on that site. I think they share a lot of information. So I do want to congratulate you and give you kudos on that, though.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that.
It's a very cool website. But you are a ghost hunter by trade, though, too. This is what you do. And this is, I mean, this is maybe why you started up I Am Haunted, but you are out there doing the work like we are also. Am I correct?
That is correct.
What kind of stuff, I mean, as far as the past, I mean, we've got to finally meet. I should mention this, too. You're biting your lip here, Doug.
I'm good. I'm good.
Doug's like, okay. We did get to finally meet. We talked. We've known each other for like about a year now, something like that. And we did finally get to meet you at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference, which was totally great. How many conferences have you been to? Have you been to a few of those this year?
That was my first conference. And I went to the Spooktacular after that, and that was about all conferences I made this year.
Well, did you have a good time?
A great start, I'm telling you.
You could have started better.
I had a great time. Honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect, mm-hmm. and I was pleasantly surprised by, you know, what these conventions and conferences, you know, bring in. All mm-hmm. the people there were so great. It was, you know, ghost hunters are a bunch of crazy people when you get a bunch of them all in one place.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be really, it would be a complete, you know, completely insane, but, you know, we've been to a lot of these this year, and we talk about them a lot on the show here, too, because we think they're just the greatest places to go when it comes to getting together, you know, at least on a personal format. We know the internet's there, and we know there's places like
I Am Haunted.
Yeah, they can bring people together, too, which is great. There's, you know, our show here, which we try to do the same thing with. But to bring people together
still
on a personal
level. Still not the same as all hooking up together.
Exactly.
And hanging out in person. You
exactly.
know, get a real feel for the person when you get to spend a weekend for them. And mm-hmm. they are, you know, an incredible time. I recommend them to everyone just because they're so fun. It doesn't matter who you are or why you want to go, just go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's what we tell people all the time here. There's nothing like really getting together with people and looking them in the face and talking about stuff.
I'm sure there's people who are like, oh, I'm shy, and I don't know if I'd get along with the folks at a conference.
Yeah.
Okay, all these folks at the conferences, they're just as crazy as you are. I mean, they're just insane. And they have a blast. Mm-hmm. And
it is a great time.
And you get to wander around the vendor tables and ask questions, and you get to sit in on the speaking engagements.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to speak. You can just sit there and listen and you know, learn. It's just an incredible environment. Who did you see speak? Did you watch pretty much everyone, or did
you? Well, Alan was one of the speakers.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
But did you float around and visit like we tend to do sometimes?
I floated around and visited, and yes. I didn't watch many of the other presentations, but I have a really good excuse for why.
Okay.
The Mid-South was the very first time that I ever had the privilege of speaking to a fairly good-sized group of people. And I was just freaked out, you know. I didn't really know, you know, if I was going to make it through that. And I figured if I watched everybody else's, then I would feel like, oh, well, that was really cool. Mine's not that cool. You know, you know, so I didn't want to psych myself out and get myself all worked up, you know, prior to going in there, because all these people had so much more experience than I did. And, you know, that's why I stayed away, I guess. I'd stop in and I'd check a little bit out just to see what, you know, because you got to have some idea what you're going to do
right
when you get in there, but...
Well, I have to say the I think you were very well received, and a lot of people already feel like they already know you. I mean, off of I Am Haunted, so just putting the face to the name is all they're doing at that point. But boy, I have to say that the doing the speeches and stuff like that. Yes, it is nerve wracking. Because we're asked occasionally to fill in for when people don't show up or have alternative plans, that kind of thing, and are pulled away.
Uh-huh.
And it's nerve-wracking, but we, you know, Scott and I, of course, tend to just turn it around on people and say, all right, we're done talking about us, and we want to hear about you, and then we just ask everybody all about themselves. Which
that's what actually really happened to me at the Spooktacular.
The best, if you ask me.
I was up there for like 20 minutes, and I'm trying to give this speech. And, you know, I could tell it wasn't being real well received.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like a comedian, and no one was laughing at my jokes. So after about 20 minutes, I'm like, my God, I don't even know what to do. I, you know, have totally lost track of where I was going with it. So I turned it into a Q&A.
Awesome.
And I started just talking with the people in the crowd. So the last 20 minutes went a lot better.
Well, that's my favorite format, you know, because that way you get people interacting. And I've told people, after the speech, after this stuff, and when you're out and you're at the vendor tables and you're looking at stuff or whatever, I want you to pick someone and go up and say hi. Because
right.
The worst they can do is say, I don't want to talk to you. And
it's usually if you walk up to me.
Yeah, which is when you walk up to Scott L.
Hi. I don't want to talk to you. Go away.
Okay. that's how we met. And
yeah.
I just don't take direction very well. So, but I'm telling you, I want more interaction, more social networking, more people, you know, meeting each other and talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and hopefully getting along.
Yeah, and that's what these conferences, I think, are all about, and that's what I think it really brings people together. What's that?
They work. You know, I did not have a bad experience.
Right.
I had a great time. You know,
good.
Everybody was great. It was fun. It really kind of stunk that it only was 2 or 3 days.
Well, I will be honest with you, Alan. We had so much fun at the Mid-South Conference this year, and I'll be very open. I don't know if I said this before. On Sunday when we were leaving, I literally started crying. I was so bummed out. I did not. I mean, I'm serious. Ask Andy. I'm sorry, Tanya and Allie.
I was
like totally bummed. What's that, Al?
I was pretty bummed too. I had that, you know, sunken feeling in my gut when we were driving away. I didn't much dig leaving either.
Well, I was pretty excited because Bonnie and I were driving up to go visit with Sean. So we were going to go from one good thing.
Sean from the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show, yeah.
So we were going from one good thing to another good thing. So my depression didn't happen until the following night.
Oh, it got worse
when
I left the convention, you know. Things just went downhill. You know, we were leaving right away because we were headed to Waverly Hills. And I'm like, yeah, Waverly Hills. I got to stand out front of Waverly Hills. Nobody ever invited me in. I was just standing out there.
Wow.
You know, I went out there, and I can say I got to stand in front of Waverly Hills for a good 25 minutes.
There you go. That was awesome.
Yeah, that really bummed me out.
I mentioned Bonnie, and of course we do see that she, we know that she's not here in her chair, but
she's on now with us. She's here.
We did unmute her line. She got to see you at both events, at Mid-South and Spooktacular. Bonnie, Alan just told us about his how his speech at Spooktacular turned into a big Q&A. Did you get to see that?
No, actually, I was manning the table then, but I did get to hear all his comments about it.
Oh,
and he said that next time he's going to work meditation into his talk.
Ooh, I like that. That's okay. A really good idea. You could sit there and have folks meditate for 15 minutes.
Right.
Or more.
That makes for an easy discussion right there.
10 minutes of talk and then 40 minutes of meditation. Rock. Absolutely rock.
That's a very easy discussion right there. And that's why I put the work on yourself. But it's obviously these conferences are very cool. Now, you've done some work, though, in the field, too. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. You've been out there doing some work. Where are some of the places you guys have been to?
Haven't been to any of the real famous places.
That's okay.
That's all right, though.
But, you know, one of the crowns of, you know, my career in this, the years I've been at this, was the Carsten Inn.
Oh, yeah.
In Kewaunee. It's a sad shame that went under, because that was a place that produced something every time you went. I have never gone there and got nothing.
Really?
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the stuff you guys experienced there?
I was grabbed on the shoulder for the very first time there. We had what we believed to be a spirit that was angry with our recording equipment, because the recording equipment was about 30 feet down the hallway from where we had left it, and it was upside down, because we put tape around everything, all of our static gear, in case it is moved, we know it's been moved.
Okay.
So we marked spots on the floor where it was, and this was quite a distance away, and the tape had stopped, and when we rewound it, about 10 seconds, and you heard these footsteps running closer and closer to the tape recorder, and you hear someone yell, "Shut up," and there's a loud crash.
Oh, my God.
And then the tape recorder was down the hallway. I've had equipment broken there. We've got an apparition photo out of there. They'll play games with a lot of the equipment. They'll break it, move it, turn it on, turn it off.
So don't bring your $10,000 thermal cam there.
Yeah, don't be bringing.
No,
yeah.
No. I had two EMF meters get destroyed in one night, and the interesting thing about them is both of them on the outside appeared fine, but when you take them apart, the motherboards on the inside were shattered.
Really? Oh my gosh. That place sounds like the best thing for Ghost Smart ever.
Oh yeah.
I'm telling you.
Well, wait a minute. You said that they weren't really, the inside of them was what was destroyed. The outside wasn't all that bad.
The outside had no visible damage at all.
But the inside, the motherboard, the actual circuit board in there.
Right. Reached in and crushed the circuit board.
Well, you know, and it sounds like a shot in the dark here, but, you know, we've talked about, you know, EVP work especially, especially with digital type recorders, where we've talked to a few people from different EVP groups and whatnot, and a lot of people say the same thing, where, you know, one of the theories is that the entity, whatever it may be, the spirit, could actually be going inside these devices and actually manipulating them and imprinting their voice on whatever the recording thing is on there. I wonder if it may be the same situation with an EMF meter, for example, like Alan mentioned here. Maybe it was doing the same thing with that, but maybe it just didn't work out that well.
I think it was trying to, you know, damage them. You know, one was knocked out of my hand twice, because I was walking into the kitchen where we had just heard, like, all the pots and pans just come crashing down. It was horrendous. You could hear it on all three floors of the inn.
Hmm.
And we stuck our head in there, and nothing was out of place. So I got out the EMF meter, and I started walking in. And I had my hand underneath it, holding it out in front of me, and, wow, it shoots up in the air, and then it hits the floor. And as I'm reaching down, one of the team members is like, hey, man, you got to be careful with that stuff. That's expensive. I'm like, yeah, I know. I bought it. And I picked it up, and I was holding it like I was holding it. And I said, now, if you were where I was, I couldn't have dropped it because it went up before it went down. And as I was saying that, it shot up in the air again and then hit the floor, and then it stopped working. And we set another one on the counter while we were going to take this part one apart and see why it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And that one flipped off the counter and hit the floor, and it was the same thing. Now, granted, both of these 2 meters had, you know, impact-related trauma.
Mm-hmm.
When you take them apart, there's these feet coming off of the motherboard, or coming off of the case,
mm-hmm.
that are mounted to the case. And the motherboards are bolted onto these feet.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, you know, kind of impact resistant that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to smash, even though you dropped them, to smash the motherboard the way it was smashed, you would have had to crack the case.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, I mean, you said there was no visible damage on the actual case of it.
Inside.
I'm wondering if something, again, I'm not saying
it's inside and pop.
Yeah, I mean, it's an idea. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it's an idea because we've heard of similar things before.
Well, it's quite possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always kind of believed that ghosts manipulate objects with natural forces like a small EM pulse or, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not actually grabbing it and picking it up. Like, you've seen the movie Ghost, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you saw how there was just a force that he used to move things, and he had to control that force, learn to control it.
Yeah,
right. It took him a while to learn to control it in the subway,
you know,
or whatever.
Chi, whatever you want to call it. You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
I think they utilize natural forces, and it's quite possible that sometimes those natural forces penetrate the equipment and can do stuff like that. You know, not intentionally. Like, when they go to knock it, that natural force that they use might actually have some kind of effect on.
Yeah, it may pack a wallop. Then they may not
right.
even know that. I mean, there's all types, you know, and in this, you know, with any of these things like this, you know, I mean, I don't know if it was intentional for that to happen either, Alan. You say you said though, with the Carson in here especially, it seems like there has been some type of aggressive things that have happened with the equipment.
It's almost
especially.
Like I can't think of a better way to explain it than it's almost like they knew what we were doing. Maybe people were in there enough that they picked up on what we were doing,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want us doing it.
What?
And since they obviously weren't going to scare us out of the building.
So it's where, woo!
We're going to put a financial burden
work.
On them.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to be a financial.
What's the worst way to get to somebody? Through their wallet. That's what I've always said.
Right.
I mean, you want to get someone. Go ahead, Alan.
I think they tried. You know, there were certain things they did, like grabbing you and things. Like, when they grabbed me, it scared me.
Mm-hmm.
But instead
oh, yeah.
of running out the door, I went up the stairs. See, you know, that went totally the wrong way. They're like, you know, no, the door. That way. You know, I went up to get to the rest of the people upstairs on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
I was downstairs. But that was so creepy because it felt so real. I could feel a hand grab my shoulder and squeeze. And what I figured it was one of the group members letting me know they were there. And because we had pretty strict rules about making noise. I don't like going into a place with people yapping and yelling and screaming all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured they were just letting me know so that I knew they were there and I didn't freak out. And I turned around to say something to them, and there was no one there, but I could still feel the hand grabbing my shoulder.
Mm, wow.
And there's no one there doing it. And I'm just like, okay. So I kind of got up and just started acting all cool and walking toward the staircase. I got to the staircase and, you know, I think I made 3 flights of stairs and about 5 steps. You know? I held my composure until then. But I've investigated probably a couple hundred different homes and businesses, churches, and places like that throughout Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
over the course of the last 19 years.
With that number of investigations, have you seen any have you been able to develop, I mean, I'm not asking for like a spreadsheet of what you have, but I'm just wondering if you found any patterns, though, with going to all those different places as far as maybe some types of hauntings are concerned.
I haven't really, well, yeah, there's a lot of, I guess it's in the equipment, the data you take.
Yeah.
Is where I've found the similarities. And it's actually led me off into different areas where now I actually like to research, experiment. I would rather sit at the same haunted location 7 days a week and study and set up little experiments to try and help figure out what's going on. Like, we're going to be doing the Ouija board experiment here real soon, and we're going to... I'll probably give you guys a copy of the audio. You can run it on the show if you want.
Yeah, yeah, we'd like
that's
to hear that
pretty
for
cool.
Sure.
You know, that's going to be kind of controversial, because every time I open my mouth and say Ouija board, bam!
Well, it's going to be very scientific. We're going to have all our equipment running, and the participants on the board are going to be double blindfolded, and the board is going to get switched around every couple minutes.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing it, Alan, and I have to gripe at George Norrie about this.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this show? It was over the summer, actually.
Yeah.
George Norrie was going to actually do a Ouija board session on Coast to Coast AM, yeah. Right?
And Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Rosemary Ellen Guiley was there. Yeah. She was there. You know, really, you know, good friend of ours. And I sat up on that show. I listened to the whole show.
Yeah.
To like the last hour when they were going to do it, and George Norrie, because he
backed out. But then again,
that got me so mad. Well, come on, man.
He was, you know, that's one of the things we talked when we were on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, was,
well, everyone is kind of touchy about getting involved with sort of taboo subjects, and you'll find that I'm exactly the opposite. I figured, yeah, people are going to put up a stink while I'm doing it, but then when I present my results to them and they struggle through the experiment and they hear the results, they're going to look at it a different way. And that's what I'm trying to do, is promote people of looking at it a different way, because I swear to God I'm going to puke if I hear one more people or person tell me that a Ouija board is the doorway to hell.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and it does get it gets tiring to hear that also. Mm-hmm. And I also agree
well,
with
we're
you.
We're plagued by that kind of stuff. We have so much misinformation going on out there, and those are the things I'm out to prove.
I want to also say that I totally agree with you, and this is something we've been trying to focus on also.
I said the whole thing about Ouija board in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody concentrates on the bad stories.
Well, yeah.
Course, you know, and nobody talks at all about
the
good stories.
Well, those bad stories, if people were looking into them, aren't even substantiated. There's no proof.
Right. It's just, oh, yeah, we were teenagers and we had this thing in our room when so-and-so was sleeping.
And I got into a car accident 3 weeks after I played with it. Now all of a sudden I have bad luck because of that.
So we couldn't throw it away and had to bury it and burn it.
Yeah, it's still buried in the backyard right now.
It goes insane.
No,
I can say I was witness to a suspicious fire once. When a Ouija board was being used, or at least on the same evening,
uh-huh.
But then again, I have no knowledge of how the people were using it. But
right.
Upon investigating, you know, the fire started next to the board, which there were two stools in the middle of the room, two bar stool type things, you know, for your islands and such.
Right.
And one had a box of clothing, and one the Ouija board was sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no one in that room. It was just a storage room, and these things were in the middle. And after they put the board in there when they were done for the night, they woke up early in the a.m. to their a room in their house being on fire, and they went in there, and that box in the middle of the room had started on fire with the clothing in it next to the Ouija board, and
ew.
There was no source of ignition. It was in the middle of the room. You know, there wasn't any wiring around it. There wasn't anything around it.
Well, spontaneous human combustion. People are just blowing up for no reason at all.
I'll believe
that
one. It was spontaneous box of clothing combustion.
Yeah, there you go.
And the Ouija board had nothing to do with it. That's my take. You know, it's the end of the
yeah. We
got
to go to break here, Alan.
Yeah, your website, of course, I think it's already on people's bookmarks, is IamHaunted.com.
Yes, sir. And, Alan, it's been so great having you on the show. It's good to talk to you. We haven't talked in a little while.
It's been really great. Unfortunately, a half hour goes by really quick.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? We'll have you come back on again. We'll do an hour if you want next time.
Oh, I've got so much more to say. I got some theories I want to run with you.
Well, you know,
it'll be fun.
Let's this week.
I think we need to cover your experiments. So
yeah.
when you run that, let us know.
Let's do that, yeah.
And we'll run something afterwards, because we'll let people know what you find out.
For sure.
Alan, about the Ouija board.
Yeah. Hang on the line for 1 second, Alan. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
We're going to go to break here. Coming up,
John Hutcherson.
Man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow, it's going to be cool to talk to John again.
What an energetic hour coming up.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the electricity guy we'll be talking to.
Wow, nice one, Doug. That was a hell of a segue right there. I understand.
I'm working it. I'm working it. What can I say?
We'll be right back after this.
Don't forget, December 23rd, Prophecy Night with Homie 3, Derek White Sky Cloud, Cattell, Victor Baines, Jill Dane, and Scott Christensen. Only here on Ghostly Talk.